I think it's a combination of your personal pride a person has and the flattery that they receive is probably the two contributing factors. And then when you pull in the third side of the attacks that come in politics, either from the press or your enemies or sometimes your friends, then it becomes, you get a little bitter on top of everything else, and then you really lose your judgment, and you feel like, you know, you're the only one and the world's fighting you, and you're the only one that can straighten it out, and you kind of get that mentality.
You also detail kind of the events of December 2009, what happened then and kind of the aftermath of it. Kind of tell me a little bit why you kind of decided to detail that aspect of your downfall, and what do you think it could teach people that get into a situation like that?
You know, there was no part of that that I should have been involved in. There was no blaming anybody. So to me, I felt like, as much as I don't really want to relive all that, at the same time, that was the thing that brought me to my knees, that finally said, okay, I got to straighten myself. I got to get back to who I need to be.
Do you kind of feel like you went through all of this and in the end, you know, it might have just been better if you had not run for state representative, if you kind of stayed in county politics and you would have just stayed away from the state political world?
Not everybody, you know, makes the mistakes and lets the office change them as I did. But, you know, you can't undo it. You know, I guess the question, would I change it if I could go back? You know, I don't know that I would, especially when I know how peaceful and happy my life is now and what, you know, it's like boot camp. I don't know that I would want to go through Marine Corps boot camp again, but I don't know that I'd ever trade it or not take it. And I would never want to go through my troubles ever again. But after I've been through them, what it's done for me personally, I don't really want to trade them. I really don't want to go through them again.
So let's say somebody who's like 28, 30, 32 came up to you and was like, you know, I'm interested in running for a state house seat. Would you tell them that to pursue that after all that you've gone through?
The legislative process, especially if you live far from Jeff City, it just takes you away. And if you're a young guy and you want to be a hard charger, well, you're not just going to be able to go up there and do the typical Monday to Thursday thing. You're going to want to go to some events and do some extra stuff, and it makes you travel even more. So, you know, I guess I would say, think about this for sure and see if you want to wait till you're a little older and the kids are gone. But if you do it, you know, I would give them a copy of the book and say, hey, I know you don't think this can happen to you.
That was Rod Jetton, former Speaker of the Missouri House. After the interview, I asked a couple of political science professors whether Jetton's situation was unique. The short answer was no. University of Missouri St. Louis professor Dave Robertson told me the constant demands of fundraising and the ambition to move up the political ladder can lead to bad decisions. Missouri State University professor George Connor says that a high-pressure environment awash with lobbyist freebies can alter somebody's moral compass. Both political scientists say Jetton's story is instructive to people entering the legislative arena. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.